welcome to another installment of MSARN's monthly podcast series titled, I'm Just an Ambulance Driver. In this month's podcast, we continue our discussion on turnover in EMS and identify some next steps that might be of interest to EMS officials. In 2006, the News and Observer newspaper highlighted turnover in Durham County Emergency Medical Services in North Carolina. This high-volume EMS agency was facing a tough time keeping paramedics. Many were leaving for better pay in other EMS systems or for new opportunities like nursing. Recently, we spoke with the director of Durham County EMS, Mike Smith, and asked him if the situation has improved since 2006.
We have 8 openings. I just lost 2 who are leaving for more money. We had stabilized pretty good last year, and actually it was the first time, at one time we were actually full and completely staffed, and then all of a sudden, now within the last month or two, we started seeing some more turnover.
Director Smith attributes some of his turnover to high patient volumes.
Our call volume during the days is just astronomical most days. Last year we ran almost 33,000 between us and Parkwood. Between the both of us, we ran almost 33,000 911 calls.
The paramedics at Durham County EMS are constantly on the go and rarely have downtime. The paramedics see a lot of trauma, which can tax a lot of new hires. Stress and burnout are constant threats.
The problem in our system is the fact that it's a very busy system. It's a high trauma system. It's a high get-go system, which means somebody comes in here who has no experience. A lot of them haven't been able to keep up or take it because you have to be ready to go. You have to be pretty sharp, you know, to get on the street and actually survive in the system.
One aspect rarely considered by agency directors is the cost associated with turnover.
It's quite a lot of money.
Tom Liebman of StatMedevac, a large air medical EMS system, pays close attention to turnover and the cost associated with turnover.
Regardless of what company you're running, especially in the EMS industry or air medical industry that I'm in, whenever you have bring in staff, select the right people, and then train them, there's a cost associated with that.
That cost was the focus of a recent article published in the Pre-Hospital Emergency Care. That study tracked turnover and cost in 40 EMS agencies located all over the U.S. The study determined that the actual costs associated with turnover can total in the tens of thousands of dollars annually for an agency. The median annual cost for turnover was $71,000, approximately $7,000 for every termination.
We bring somebody in, select them, take the time to interview them, go through that process, which has a cost attached to it, and pay them to train, pay them to fly as a third person. We have a lot of money and time invested in training that person, and if at some point in the 12 weeks or even in the first 6 months they leave employment for whatever reason, that's kind of a sunk cost. That's a cost we can't ever recover.
12 weeks, the median number of weeks it took for new hires in Dr. Patterson's study to get up to 90% productivity. By that time, an EMS agency may have spent many hours precepting, training, and educating new hires. The agency may have spent money on advertisements and other materials prior to hiring. In addition, supervisors may have spent time filling shifts left empty by the persons terminated. All of these factors come at a cost to the agency, and reducing cost and turnover requires a strategy. Mr. Liebman's strategy is to first recognize that turnover is costly. Next, he tries to establish a relationship with potential new hires well before they show up for an interview.
The psychological contract, every one of us has one. You know, you work for somebody, and the psychological contract is kind of the deal you have with your boss or the deal you have with your company. And it is actually formed before you even really get hired. So before they even go to their interview, they have in their head a vision of what it's like to work at the company. And it was created by all the material, brochures, ads, and things that are out there in that company. Then they come and they sit through the interview and they learn a little more about the job characteristics, the pay, and the supervision. They think they have an idea of what it is, and then they get hired. Then when they actually are hired, then they actually start to set the job characteristics, pay, and supervision becomes concrete. And there may be contract violations, and that'd be like the deal that, hey, you know what? You know, I thought that I would have every Sunday off. Now you're scheduling me on Sunday? That's a contract violation to me. It's not a formal contract, It's a this implied contract. That's the deal. You know, when you hired me, I thought I would be only doing this. Now I'm doing all these other things. And what happens is you have these job characteristics, pay and supervision, and that all flows into how satisfied you are with your job. And every time the employer violates the deal, that's a contract violation. And when those start to accumulate, then that starts to send the employee thinking, you know what, I'm really sick of this. You know, every time I turn around, I think this is the deal. Now they keep changing it on me. And then before you know it, they're deciding to go look somewhere else or leave their job.
To gain some sense of what should be included in this contract and what attracts new recruits to an agency, we spoke with three paramedic students from one of the nation's oldest paramedic programs.
Nowadays, the economy being horrible, definitely pay is one of them. But I would also look at the kind of benefits that I get, especially if I plan on doing it as a career. I'd like to see where I could be down the line and what kind of advancement I could expect to see.
The possibility of jumping the ladder, seeing how high you can get in a short amount of time, and where your medical director stands on certain procedures, whether or not they treat you with respect, and see if they stand behind you if you happen to make a mistake. Seen it in a couple services where the medical director, if you happen to make a mistake in the field, they'll let you drown. And I don't feel like working for something like that would be my type of personality.
Well, I would like to work at a place that's offering some really progressive treatments.
I would probably look more at organizational dynamics and about how the company runs itself, how management looks, how supervisors look, and how the employees in and of itself get along.
Once a new hire is brought on, retention begins almost immediately. Aaron Reinert, director of Lakes Region EMS, offers these insights about recruitment and retention.
Pay always seems to be what people think of right away. That may be the first thing that's cited, but it's often not the real reason. But we knew that it was a little bit deeper than that. And so we as an organization really started this path of kind of the of a soul searching about what's really number one, two, and so on that list. We're also very specific about working with people on a one-on-one basis. And not assuming that something like pay is universal. And we don't keep any secrets about anything except for things that are obviously legally protected. We share the checkbook. We share our financial statements. We share audits. We share everything we could possibly think of. We answer every rumor that we can think of. We encourage our employees to ask questions about whatever they want to know. No secret. Yeah, not only a culture of trust, but just a culture of absolute openness.
Curbing turnover at Durham County EMS involves recognition.
Some of the things you have to do in management, I guess, to attract people or keep people too, is the fact that you have to thank them. You know, you got to realize that those people out there are doing a heck of a job. They're, you know, the ones that are doing a good job. And you thank them. You know, you try to recognize them in any way you can in these low budget times. And sometimes it's just not any way, you know, to recognize them. But you still have to recognize them.
Whether it's recognition, communication, or a personal contract with each employee, it's apparent that EMS directors and managers can no longer rely solely on altruism and the excitement to attract good people to EMS. Dr. Fitch of the EMS consulting firm Fitch & Associates has visited many EMS agencies. He has these following recommendations.
Well, I think people are still altruistic, but our whole society has moved from what I would think is a higher level to a more job-focused kind of approach. I think that's part of what we're seeing as a microcosm in EMS and a reflection of the whole society. I certainly think that there is still an attraction to lights and sirens and to helping folks. You know, I think at the end of the day, people want to do a good job. Very few people that I've encountered in my 30-plus years in EMS have come to work and put their uniform on and say, gee, I want to go out and hurt somebody today. Yeah, they want to help folks. Well, best practice organizations benchmark not only on turnover but on a number of different factors, and they look at that either monthly or quarterly, and from that, then they create the strategies for how they're going to address things.
When an agency wants to address recruitment and retention, Dr. Fitch recommends focusing on four areas.
That includes the leadership or the administration, because part of the problems, you know, are with turnover. Research has told us that people don't leave jobs, they quit or leave supervisors. And so we have to look, hold that mirror up and kind of refocus the leaders' orientations toward understanding the changing needs of today's workers. Second kind of category we look at is, you know, do they have employee-friendly opportunities? Do they have shifts that are logical? And younger folks like to have group events. People want to be involved in things. You know, and some agencies that we're seeing have, you know, sports teams and things that allow the employees to feel connected. The third factor that we look at is, you know, what are the education and development opportunities within that entity? You know, is there tuition reimbursement or loan forgiveness? Is there a career ladder for people to go from being an EMT to getting some good EMT experience and then becoming a medic, or even progressing from being a medic to being an RN, or other public safety roles? So are there internal training programs that are supported by the organization? And then kind of the fourth category is, you know, is there opportunity for community involvement so that people have a way to feel connected to the larger community?
Problems with recruitment and retention vary across EMS agencies, and so do the strategies that agency directors choose to adopt. Turnover is a key indicator of performance and quality. It will be important for EMS agencies to track it as well as evaluate its impact. Few turnover tracking tools exist. Recently, Dr. Patterson and his team developed the first toolkit for monitoring turnover and cost in EMS. This toolkit was built in Microsoft Access and is now available for download from the MSARN website. We invite all of our listeners to download this toolkit and begin to improve their understanding of turnover and cost.
To learn more about MSARN or to leave feedback on our podcast, log on to www.msarn.org. For MSARN, my name's Charlie Warner, and I'm just an ambulance driver. Thank you. Good day.